The very mention of chocolate makes many people happy, especially if it's preceded by the words, "Would you like some?" My guests this morning understand the allure of chocolate. Tim Shepard is a filmmaker who has made a documentary on that luscious subject. Elaine Reed and Matt Wyant are Atlantans who make artisanal chocolates in their shop, Chocolato, at Croagh Street Market. Welcome to City Lights.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Oh, a pleasure. Tim, what was the inspiration for the film?
So my wife and I were living in San Francisco. We drove to Guatemala to move there, kind of on a whim, and sat down next to this man in a bar on like the second night we got down there. That man was Steve Bergen, who is a cacao hunter and conservationist. So we got to talking about his work. He was a media headhunter in New York, and he hung up his suit and tie and went traveling full-time through Latin America trying to conserve and preserve heirloom varieties of cacao. So he gets these teams of chocolate makers, some of the U.S.'s best craft chocolate makers, including Matt and Elaine at Chocolatl, to go down with him and kind of represent some buying power. So we just tagged along, and it kind of started snowballing from there.
Well, you were a filmmaker before that.
I was a filmmaker. I was working in more kind of commercial and corporate projects. So we went to Guatemala to kind of sink our teeth into something a little more like hearty and meaty. And then within 2 days ended up on our next kind of feature film.
Well, sinking one's teeth into chocolate is much better than meat.
It's an easy one. Yeah.
What did you learn along the way?
So I think the story has developed a lot just as like through different segments of filming this. I think at first I was kind of interested in the chocolate making process and finding out what goes into making the kind of craft bars of chocolate. And there is a lot of different steps and it's a lot of hard work. But as we spent more time in the Peruvian Amazon filming this project, we started to see this system of people leaving these farms because of outside agribusiness coming in and kind of offering prices and kind of taking over the farmland that they've been living on for many, many years. And a lot of people were moving to the slums in Lima to try to see if they could like eke out a living there instead of staying on the farms. So we're kind of following people now into the slums of Lima in Peru to kind of show like what the repercussions are if we don't actually start appreciating the chocolate and paying fair prices for our chocolate, and then the chocolate makers passing that on to the farmers.
Is this reminiscent of Blood Diamonds?
I think it's reminiscent of like almost every type of agriculture and produce that we have. We're losing these heirloom varieties so quickly. And if it wasn't for people like these chocolate makers who are actually making huge efforts to preserve what actually already existed down there. The area that we're in Peru that we spent a lot of time in is the genetic origin of cacao. So there's a lot of interesting types and varieties down there which are native to that area. So the effort of the film is to try to, instead of saying like instead of bowing to deforestation and cattle raising and soy and the myriad other things that go in down there, we're trying to say, let's preserve what's already there. It makes better chocolate. We can offer a higher price, and it can actually help potentially save the Amazon rainforest.
Hmm. Matt and Elaine, how did you meet Tim?
Well, we first met Steve, who is this sort of main subject of Tim's film, a couple of years ago, actually. The craft chocolate world is still a pretty small world. And so and we're all, you know, small. We don't have the ability to buy a container load of cacao on our own because I think you've seen our shop. It's a very small little operation. And so what we do, though, is work with other small craft chocolate makers. And a lot of us are interested in a lot of the issues that Tim just talked about. Beyond making good chocolate, we're interested a lot in the social impact that's happening, the environmental impact that's happening. And so a lot of craft chocolate makers are very committed to how their beans are sourced. And so we've worked together with other makers to source beans, and we went on a trip, I guess almost 3 years ago now, with Steve and some other chocolate makers to Peru to visit some of these same areas that then Tim joined us with last year. And, you know, we've been to sort of one co-op there in Peru that we've worked with for a couple of years to improve their post-harvest process. So there's a very kind of complicated fermentation and drying process that happens after the pods are harvested and the beans are pulled out of the pods. And we've worked with them to this group of chocolate makers along with Steve to improve that process so that we can kind of bring it up to the quality where we can use it to make good chocolate. And the goal there is that once we work with that co-op and get them to that place, we can now buy their beans at a, you know, above fair trade price, whereas before they may have been selling it on the commodities market for half as much. Uh-huh. And so it's an effort to sort of, one, obviously we want good quality chocolate, but also to hopefully have a social and environmental impact in the country of origin as well.
Well, it sounds like you are improving the quality of life of these farmers.
You know, I don't want to overstate it, and, you know, we're not saving the world through chocolate, but I mean, it's, you know, Elaine and I both had a background. We were not in food or chocolate at all, you know, 5 years ago. And so we sort of came from Elaine. Well, I can let Elaine speak to her background, but.
Well, so I had done some work with international development and humanitarian agencies, and Matt had worked in local politics and statewide politics. And so we both naturally come at, you know, at viewing the world with an eye towards social issues. And so while we know we're, as Matt said, we can't save the world through chocolate, there are certain things that we can do to make the industry a little bit better. And we're not the only ones doing it. I think that that's a direction that a lot of craft chocolate makers are going in, and we're happy to see that change.
Well, we've been using this word a good bit in the past few minutes. What exactly is craft chocolate?
So there's probably not a completely standard definition. So if you talk to different makers, each one will probably come up with a slightly different definition. But I think in general, we can agree that craft chocolate means that you are starting several steps earlier in the process in making chocolate than a traditional chocolatier. So chocolatier typically is buying blocks of well-made chocolate and then melting that down and creating their own recipes with that chocolate. A chocolate maker is actually working with a raw cacao bean and going through several steps in the process, which include roasting the beans, sorting them, cracking, winnowing, grinding the beans into a liquid chocolate. So it's about five or six steps earlier in the process.
So this is hugely labor intensive.
It is.
And I think that's the thing that, you know, our shop is at Krog Street Market, and we intentionally have the production space there and visible. We make all of our chocolate right there in the market, and it may be one of the smallest chocolate factories in the country, but it's there visible to people so they can see the process. Because most people that we talk to have no idea where chocolate comes from. They don't know that cacao is a fruit, that chocolate grows on trees, essentially. And so we spend a lot of time explaining to people the process. And I think we've gotten, many people have gotten used to paying $5 for a cup of coffee, but they still expect their chocolate bar to cost a dollar. Mm-hmm. And the reality is there's actually far more labor that goes into a chocolate bar than there is a cup of coffee. Again, not even what we do, but before the beans even get to us, there's about a 3 or 4 week post-harvest process that happens in the country of origin to go through this fermentation and drying process and sorting process. And so we're trying to sort of shine a light on that. And, you know, I think the other aspect of craft chocolate is stripping out a lot of the filler ingredients. And so we have a line of single origin bars that are just made with cacao and organic cane sugar. And
that's what single origin means.
Exactly, yeah. So okay. We don't add, so, you know, if you think about the chocolate that you ate growing up, the Hershey's bar that you ate growing up, well, Hershey's milk chocolate, and maybe there's not a lot of folks listening to this that are eating a lot of Hershey's milk chocolate right now, but a Hershey's milk chocolate bar is actually only about 11 or 12% cocoa. So it's about 88% not chocolate.
Oh, and what is the other? What is it?
Well, there's a lot of milk fat. There's a lot of sugar. But then there's other filler ingredients. There's soy lecithin. Sometimes there's added fats other than cocoa butter, so even other vegetable oils and things.
But soy and lecithin are good for you, aren't they?
Well, soy lecithin is used as an emulsifier. It's not particularly, not that it's necessarily good or bad for you, but it's essentially, it's not, the way we make chocolate is try to strip all of that out. Uh-huh. And so the other thing that's added to a lot of industrial chocolate is vanilla. They're usually buying really low quality beans. And so the flavor that we taste when you start to think about it is actually more vanilla than it is chocolate. And that vanilla is used to kind of mask any potential off notes in the chocolate.
So we have notes. This is like a wine vocabulary, isn't it? Not to be dismissive in any way here, but this is such an education. If you're just joining us, you're listening to City Lights. I'm Lois Reitzis. My guests are filmmaker Tim Shepard, along with Elaine Reed and Matt Wyant, craft chocolate makers here in Atlanta. We're talking about the film Setting the Bar. From what you're describing, such a labor-intensive project, albeit one with noble intentions in terms of sustainability and taking into consideration the lives of the people who grow the cacao beans, it's mind-boggling that you can make a living just thinking about, I don't know how people arrive at pricing, but can you make a profit from what you're doing?
Well, we hope that the answer is yes. We are still a very new company, so slightly over 2 years at Croc Street Market. The thing that I think keeps Matt and I hopeful is that we are seeing an increase in interest and understanding about the value of, paying for food that has been produced ethically and sustainably. We're lucky in Atlanta because, Atlantans are so well educated and so informed about food and so interested in where their food comes from. So I think that it's a great population for us to be doing this work in.
And the name is very charming, the name of your shop. Would you explain it and spell it?
Sure, it's Chocolatl, small batch chocolate. And it's the Nahuatl word, so the Aztec word for how they consume chocolate. They didn't have chocolate bars. They ground the cacao down into water and cornmeal. They would add peppers and spices, maybe some honey. There wasn't cane sugar. So it was a very different way to consume cacao than how we consume it. And the word actually means, the first part of the word chocolate means bitter, and the second part of the word, ATL, means water. And so it's bitter water. Ah. And it's X-O-C-O-L-A-T-L. And we like the ATL in the name. So.
Yes, it has another layer of meaning, another layer of chocolate meaning. Tim, this film is as much about the Amazon and the people of the Amazon as it is about chocolate. What do you want audiences to learn from this documentary?
So I think when we started, I really wanted I had no idea of the chocolate making process before we even got to Peru. I didn't know that cacao grows from, as a fruit that grows straight out of the trunk on a pod, and there's like a delicious fruit inside. We just knew nothing. So I work in food media primarily. So I really wanted to kind of educate people, like we were just saying, like a little bit as to why we should be paying $8, $9, $10 for a bar of chocolate, because I don't think we know that really. But as we progressed, I realized the importance of taking the film back down to Peru to also educate people down there a little bit as to where their cacao is going. There's not a lot of actual chocolate makers in Peru. There's a couple of people doing it, but it's definitely a new industry. So I want to take the film back down there and show people, like, your product is making a difference in the US, and like, here's where, or like around the world, and here's why people are interested in it, and here's why people are interested in paying like higher prices for your excellent cacao and why we should keep on doing it and why we should potentially stay on the farms and continue working in those.
Given the differences in our economy and that of Peru or other Latin American nations, do you think these farmers are shocked by those prices?
I think one of the things that struck me was on the commodity market for cacao for like larger companies like that ends up at larger companies like Hershey's and stuff. The prices are always changing for farmers. Like they'll bring like, you know, one bag of cacao beans and every week they'll get a completely different price. And I think it was quite hard for people to like grasp the concept of global markets. Like a lot of the places we were going were so remote that like people were asking, are you guys from Lima? And we're like, no, we're from much further away than Lima. Like, and so to try and explain that like cacao is listed on the London Stock Exchange, that there's people in London who are trading cacao at different prices based on like different factors. I think that's a really hard concept to try to get across.
Tim Shepherd is the director of the forthcoming documentary Setting the Bar, which will be out this summer. Elaine Reed and Matt Wyant are the chocolate makers behind Chocolato at Krog Street Market. They're all appearing tonight in Bean to Bar at the Atlanta Botanical Garden. It's free with admission to the gardens. And yes, there will be chocolate. Thank you for a delicious segment.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.